It's a little bit of Shin Bays today. Shin Bays deals with things like if you have to clean your clothes. Shin Bet, sorry.
No, the Shabbat. Shin Bet.
Oh. But no, we're not going to talk about them. Sorry. It's not.
You can't tell us,
it's a top secret. Like most Simon in Hilchos Shabbos, there's those Seifim that are less Negei L'maisa for us nowadays, and those Seifim that are more Negei L'maisa. So, you know, it's nice to try to focus on the ones that are Negei L'maisa. Just go through a few in Yonim over here. So, Tzif Aleph, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about shaking off clothes. It's Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's talking about shaking off towel, dew, or it's talking about shaking off dust. Rabbi Shainim, go like Rabbeinu Chananu, who holds that it's talking about shaking off dew. And that's why it's aser, because it's similar to kibbutz, to laundering a baguette, because there's some type of water liquid involved. Rashi learns that it's talking about shaking off dust. So the Mechaber doesn't bring Shittas Rashi at all. So I guess maybe for Svardin there's more room to be makel about this. But the Ramah does bring it as a Yesh Aymin. Yesh Aymin, the Asr l'na'er beyed. Some say that you're not allowed to shake off a garment. Min ha'avak sha'alav, from the dust that got on it. In makbid alav, if you're makbid. So the Ramah's psak is that this is not strictly binding, but it's a good idea to be chayshish for Shittas Rashi and to not do it. The Mishnah Berurah brings Achronim, particularly Eli Rabba, who says that no, it's not just a good idea. There are a lot of Rishonim that go like Shittas Rashi, even if most Rishonim don't. But there are a lot of Rishonim that go like Rashi, and therefore, make a din, you have to be chayishis for Shittas Rashi. Rashi holds that it's a shayla v'deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah makes a hachra that you could ask a guy to do it for you. What could be saimich on the Rishonim and the Ramah's psak legabe asking a guy to do it for you? Now, so what we're going to come out with?
What about asking a Sephardi?
That's racist.
No, it's not racist. It's actually a fantastic shiloh.
And if I'm in yeshiva, and if I'm, do that all the time.
And if I'm not mistaken, the classic example that they give is, let's say you're makrid not to open up bottle caps on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So could you give it to someone else who is not makbid to open up bottle caps on Shabbos? So I seem to remember, although I don't think I ever saw this inside, that the gether that was said about this is that it depends. If you really hold that it's usher, then you can't ask another Jew to do it for you, even though he goes like the sheet that holds that it's usher. Because you bet and hold that it's usher. But if it's the shot that you don't hold anything, just you want to play it on the safe side, so then it could be that it's okay. So over here, a lot would depend on whether you go like the Ramah, or you go like the Mishnah Berurah that he brings to the Rabbah. If you go like the Ramah, that it's only a toiv lachish mitvarav.
Yeah, but our rabbi is passing like this, his rabbi is passing like that. It's not
right, so it's not a question of me to die.
I hold that it's awesome.
It's not a.
Just that's the psak that I got.
Oh, but that's. Okay, that's a good point. But that's considered that you hold that it's awesome. In other words, for you, it's awesome. It's not the pshat that, you know, it's a chumrah, it's a toiva, it's a hiddur. For you, it's awesome. So if for you it's usher,
yeah, but why is it usher for me? Because that's what my rabbi is.
Because that's your psak. That's right.
Why is it for him? It's not usher because
that's correct. It's not a problem for him to come over without asking you, without you asking him. If he chops on his own and comes over and grabs it and starts doing like this, you don't have to start throwing stones at him and say Shabbos, you know, because it's totally mutter. The question is whether you could ask him to do it. Mitzitcha.
Right. Problem, because I'm not telling him to do anything that's not allowed for him.
Yeah, but you are telling him to do something that, as far as you are concerned, is awesome. As far as you're concerned, this is awesome. But anyway, let's come back to this. Okay, so where were we? Fine. So lafi the Rama, it comes out that it's only a type of achish. Lafi the Eliyahu Rabbah. Now, there's a klal said over from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I remember correctly, that if the Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the source that he's mentioning in the Mishnah Berurah, so then that's not as strong as if he just says it, and then at the bottom of the Sharetzim you see where it's quoted from. Because when he said, I think the way to understand this is that if he's saying Ayin El Yarabo, so he's saying, I don't necessarily, you know, completely endorse what he's saying. I'm not necessarily taking that on as the Pesach Halacha. I'm informing you that this is what he holds. And it's very kedai to be mischashiv and take into serious consideration what he holds. So, that being the case, let's go one at a time. If you see someone doing this on Shabbos, you know, someone's hat gets dusty or their pants, you know, you see guys all the time going like this on Shabbos. So, for sure, don't say anything, because he definitely has the Ramah to be Zemichon. According to the Ramah, it's only a type of lachish. So, if a guy's not doing it, if he's not being machmir, totally within his, you know, this, you know, jurisdiction, so to speak, if he wants to, you know, not be machmir. So that for sure not. Now, what about as far as yourself is concerned? So as far as yourself is concerned, Lufi Rashi is a Nisa Deraisa, if you're makrid. But that's in itself an important akudah. Because what exactly does it mean that you're makrid?
What is cleaning it, you're makrid?
Obviously not. Because the Gemara says that there was a story with, I think, Rav Yehuda, that he had a beged that had either tal or avak on it. Lefi Rabbeinu Chananel, his way of explaining it. Lefi Rashi, his way of explaining it. And he said, shake it off for me or something. And then there was Ulo who came from Eretz Yisrael with their makbid. He said, oh my goodness, there's Machal Shabbos over here. He said, go shake it out right in front of his face. He said, over here we're not makbid. So obviously for the Gemara, the halachic gather of makbid that we're talking about doesn't mean that you're brushing it off. It obviously means something more than that. So there is a rush benageya to another halacha, which if we'll get there today. Where is this? Ikud Yabalis. It's over here. Ushi Yakud Alayim. Yeah. Because there is a rush. I don't remember if it was in this context or a different context that says what's makbid? Makbid means you would not wear it the way it is. It's all dusty. You would not wear it out like that. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really give a clear gether, at least not that I noticed, a clear gether of what makbid is. So let's say, for argument's sake, that makbid means that you would not wear it out. You would not want to wear it outside. You just wouldn't want to wear it out. Okay? So let's say you know yourself. Okay, I got some dust on my pants. I don't really care that much. Yeah, I'd rather not have it there, so that's why I'm brushing it off. So I would suggest, at least to me it makes sense, that if you know yourself that you're not really so makbid, right? You're not such a makbid guy, and according to the Ramah, it's only a type of lachish. So if you want to be mekel, zchutcha, you could. That's what I would suggest. Furthermore, there's another condition that the Paiskim give to this, well, the Gemara really bets him, to this halacha, which is that it's only if the garment is dark color. The Gemara uses the expression black, but a lot of times when the Gemara says black versus red, or black versus white, it can often mean dark versus light. Right? So Lefi Rashi, it really makes a lot of sense. Because dust on a dark garment shows up a lot more than on a lighter garment. You know, if you have a light gray suit, dust is not gonna present nearly as much of a, you know, issue as when you have a dark garment. But okay. So, dark. So most people on Shabbos wear dark suits, people in the Yeshivish world, right? Most, not all. And most people's suits, you know, at least by a certain point, are not new. Now I saw what to me was a huge chiddush, the Dirshu brings down, that Rav Nissen Karlitz holds that if the suit that you're wearing is obvious that it's a Shabbos suit, that's called that it has a din of nu. That's called that it has a din of nu. Now the real, who am I? You know, but I would think that a more, or maybe another question that we can ask over here, when I send it to the dry cleaners, you know, and it comes back nicely pressed, is that called that it's new again? Is that as if it's new? You know, could you tell the difference between a freshly, you know, pressed suit from the cleaners and from when you first bought it?
A bit more shiny.
What'd you say?
A bit more shiny than the word regular.
Because it's rubbed out, you mean?
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, so if you're talking about that, like, shiny, rubbed-out look, so that's for sure. That's for sure. But usually that comes from sitting on hard wooden benches. Like, if you sit on chairs like this all the time, it doesn't get rubbed out like that. That, like, shiny look on the back, I don't think people get it when they sit on...
Not only that, when it comes back to the clear, it's not the same thing.
Maybe after 20 times, the first time.
Oh, so, okay, so nothing on me. So if you'll throw your clothes into a... He brings down here from the Rambam... I'm sorry, he doesn't mean this in the Rambam. I seem to remember the Shita of Rambam is that when you wash it once, the first time you wash it, it's no longer called Chadosh. It's not called new anymore. Mishnah Berurah says, Chadosh HaMikri Im Loi Nishtamish Ba'adayin Harbe She'oi Nira Ba'chidush. You still haven't used it enough to wear off that new look. You know, I have some pieces of clothing. It's like, it's blatantly obvious that they're not new. And I have other suits that, to be honest with you, I don't really see that much of a difference, even though they've gone through the dry cleaners 10 times, maybe even 20 times. I don't know if I really see that much of a difference between when I first bought it. Now, it could also be that because I have, you know, let's say if a person has one suit that he wears on Shabbos, so then it could be that, you know, that's his only suit. It could be after a few times it'll already not look new. But if he has a few suits, you know, 3, 4, and like every shot is a different one, so then it could be that it'll hold on to its new look longer. It's mustaver than it would. It's getting less wear and tear. But in any event, the point is that it is not new anymore, and there's a very good argument, there's a strong argument to be made that you're not really makpid. So since according to the Ramah, it's only a type lachish, I think there's a lot of room to be makel. I think. That's my own personal opinion. Now the Bureau of Halacha does bring down that there are Achronim who say that nowadays we don't really know what's called new, what's called makpid, and therefore we should always be machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't find that in the rest of the Achronim. So Mameila, if you want to be machmir, Tavay Alecha Bracha. If you want to be mekil, Yesh Lecha Al Malismoich. And he said over here in Eitz, and he says, you know what would be a good idea if you do it with a shinui. Instead of doing it like regular, so use the back of your hands, kila achar yad. So if you add in this bir halacha into the pot over here, you know, I think there's definitely room to be makel. You know, that if you have a good side that you're really not makpid, and it could be that it's not new.
So why are you doing it, you know?
No, again. Not makbid in this halacha doesn't mean you don't care at all. You have to understand, we have a yeshivish sprach. I'm not makbid. Usually we use that colloquially to mean, I couldn't care less. Psychologically, that's not what makbid means in the context of this halacha. I'll give you an example. Even in regular diburim shalchol, regular talk, say, you know, do you care if I borrow your car? Do I care? Yeah, alright. You know, go to another guy. Do you care if you borrow your car? Yeah, I care. You go to a third guy. Do you care if I borrow your car? I wouldn't dream of letting you use my car. It's different levels of faith. You know, makbid is not just like a black or white. You know, either you mamish care and you're going to cry if it doesn't go your way. So go ahead. It's not like chat is that, like, you know, if you're makbid, so you care to the point that you're gonna cry if it doesn't go your way, and if you're not makbid, you just push it, couldn't care less. In the Gemara, it's a lot of makbid means a certain extent. So the Later, there's a halacha where the Mishnah Berurah says that makbid means that you care, like you said, you care. Over here, he doesn't say that, though. Right? I may as well mention it. There's a halacha, it's another gemara. You know, most halachas are gemaras or rishonim. You know, rishonim being marchiv on the gemara. So the gemara says, if you have yabalos in your clothing, so to take them out is makam apatish.
Yabalos?
Oh, so what are yabalos? What are yabalos? So he says that yabalos are basically more or less like, you know, unwanted things that got caught in the garment while they were sewing it or weaving it. You know, like a piece of straw or like a haphazard piece of thread or something like that. Whatever it is, something got accidentally woven into the beged. So if you pluck that out of the beged, that's makom apatish. Because now you're finishing off the beged. At Mahalachis, but only if you're makbid. Only if you're makbid. So in this context, the Mishnah Berurah says, what does makbid mean? You did it on purpose. Meaning you did it because, oh, what's that doing there? And you pulled it out. As opposed to, you know, you're sitting in a shir and you're kind of bored by what the person is saying, so you're like playing with your clothes and picking out the haphazard pieces of plastic or whatever that are coming out. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in that context is called not makbid. Why did you just do that? I was fiddling, you know, I was fidgeting. That's all. So that, but the Mishnah Berurah by us doesn't say that. Over here in Seif Aleph, he doesn't say that's the gather of Einai Makbid. So it could be that there's room to say over here that Einai Makbid means that you would be willing to wear it as is. You'd rather, obviously there are some people, they're mamish. You know, you see their, you know, everything is just so about the way they dress. Particularly on Shabbos, the hat is tilted just so, the glasses are just so, the thin little or fat tie is just so. You remember that style?
It's been fat.
You know, the short fat ties?
Big bow.
Yeah, anyway, Baruch Hashem, that style didn't last too long. So the kids are, so if you do it with a shino and you do it kalachar, if your garment, if your suit is not new, and you have a shtark atzad that you're not really so makbid, and you do a kilachar yad, if you want to be machmir, avada tavel alach bracha, there for sure is room to be machmir. But if you want to be mekel, I think there's also room to be mekel. Certainly if you see someone else doing it, leave him alone. Okay, that's as far as that goes. So we mentioned the aboilos. We mentioned the aboilos. Oh, so what did I want to talk about the aboilos? When you buy a new suit, so you forgot to take off the tag before Shabbos.
Some Israelis think it's the style. Michal Amstalin. At their wedding.
What are you talking about? They leave it on purpose. It's also like, you know, nowadays a lot of people seem to see that the style of tzitzis is to have one string that comes down to your knee. Right? It's totally wrong, al-pi halacha. The halacha is that the noy of the tzitzis is that they should all be the same length. So that the one that you wrap it with, you're supposed to try to be mechamin it, that when it comes on, you're finished, they'll come out pachas yis in the same length. And if not, so, in halacha it says, use your teeth to bite off the ends to get them, but I've tried that before, it doesn't really go. I one time...
Well, what do you mean, it looks good even if one's longer?
No, it looks good, no. I one time bought tzitzis by a guy in Meisharim, I think he's still there, and this goes back, I think more than 15 years, but I'm not sure. And he took out these scissors, these white scissors, the blades were white, and he cut the ends. And I said to him, why did you just use scissors? He says, not looking as close to me. He says, no, these are made out of ivory.
Huh. Yeah, I heard of
it. Ivory. So he said, they cost me $70. He said, where did you get ivory scissors? So he said, may I internet?
Black market.
I was floored when he told me that. This is going back like 15 years. The Hasidic guy in Meisharim with the tzitzis door. No, I said to him, "Mi yavin lecha at hamisparim hayom? Ha'internet yavin."
Yeah, they're very sharp.
Kitzur. So that was a good way of solving that problem. Anyway, so they bring down like this. They bring down that it seems to be a machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Yibalo L'chaim Rav Nissim Karolitz. That Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's not makabe patish to take off the tag of the garment. Why not? Because they only put it on after they finished the garment. You know, makabe patish is that the garment was never really finished. And now you're finishing it. So if the schmutz got woven in during the process of weaving, so then, until you take out the schmutz, it's not called that you really finished the garment. But if you finished it, lock, stock, and barrel, you're done. And then they slapped on a tag. So then it's not makom avantish to take it off. Now, I'm not sure. There's different types of tags. There's a tag where, like, you know, by shirts, like sometimes it's like a string that they loop it through the hole where the button goes, and like you have to cut it off or rip it off. It doesn't just like come off.
Right.
That's one type of tag. And there's another type of tag which is actually sewn on, like on a suit jacket. A lot of times, like you said, it's literally sewn on. And if you just try to like rip it off, you're going to rip the sleeve of the jacket. One time, one of my kids, she had a brand new sweater, and she decided to try to take the tag off herself. She just yanked it off, and there was a nice hole, and it was like it was a nice sweater that one of her grandparents bought her from, you know. And I was like, oh. So I showed it to her, and I'm like, you know, next time ask us to do it for you. So you can't just rip that thing off. You have to like really take like a small knife and carefully rip out each thread. So I'm not sure if he means to say that you're allowed to do such a thing on Shabbos. Now, if you think about it, other than makabe patish, what malacha could it be?
Korea? No,
it's not mustavir. You're not, you know, Korea usually there's more involved. I mean, the truth is that there's a whole balagan when it comes to Korea.
It's not food, really. It's not
the jacket. What are you doing?
The jacket.
Let me ask you a question. I'm sure if your spoon gets bent out of shape. Well, better yet, your hat got bent out of shape. Can you bend it back into shape?
What?
Your hat.
These are your heads.
But your head, you got serious problems with your head. Gets bent out of shape. Yeah, let's say your hat, your kova, gets bent out of shape on Shabbos. Can you put it back?
They say you no.
If your shoelaces come out of your shoe on Shabbos, can you put it back?
Yeah.
That's mafurish that you can put it back. Oh, it's tikkun.
And your hat?
Why can't you put your hat back?
No, everyone says you know that.
I don't know where they're getting it from. Based on what?
I've heard a lot of people say you can't. If it comes out of shape, you can't put it back.
Based on unknown.
Can we try to figure out what the answer is over here? The Gemara says if your stuffing fell out of your pillow, you're allowed to put it back. If your lace came out of your shoe, you're allowed to. You know, it's something that already was a clean and it fell apart. I can't wear my shoes if the shoelace is not in there.
So
it doesn't work. You're allowed to put the shoelace back in as long as there's no chash that you might come to do a kshira, which by our shoelaces nowadays is different. At least in most cases, there's no chash that you're going to make a kshira. Kesher shel kayama.
So why,
in the world wouldn't you be allowed to bend your head?
Are you allowed to go Lego on Shabbos?
Lego is a totally different question. No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why Lego is a totally different question. You're starting off with nothing, and now you're making something that never was.
The hat when it's splashed up.
No, but the hat was something that existed. The chimer of the hat is that it's still here. It's not like, you know, you cut the hat into 15 pieces, you know, and it's b'chol not recognizable. I mean, listen, some people, l'chatchila, wear banged in hats. Reb Chaim Brisker, his shita in Brisk was to wear very, very, very simple clothes. He wore a gown. You ever seen pictures of him? He wore a gown. Literally, it was like a dress, a gown. He would have a new one made every Erev Pesach. That's what he wore. His hat, his kids, he would ask his kids to bring it to him for benching. And they would like straighten it out for him. He would punch it in and put it back on his head.
Why?
Because that was his shita, b'pashtus. One time when he had to go to Germany for a conference of Rabbonim, he went to a local tailor and he gave him precise instructions on how to make him like a totally geschwitz three-piece suit. The amount of people were in his fall that Reb Chaim could even know such things. And he said over there, they care about these things. So if it's a chila, it's a chila Hashem if I go there without a really nice suit. But over here, no, Poland, who could care less? So it's funny because the Brisker Rav, all the pictures of the Brisker Rav Mamish is like the, it's like the semel of Malchus, of Bakavdikait. But
just a new video of Chofetz Chaim.
Yeah, I saw that. You see all these people, mamish.
No.
The Bnei Yeshivas. Shailas, who are they? You know, you don't know how all the smaller people are. In any event, okay. So coming back. If you take off, I just got off onto a tangent. So if your hands, how did we get here?
Take your tag out of your suit.
All right. So if it's not makom patish unless it was never finished. If it was finished, and now, you know, something happened to it. Now the funny thing is they don't bring this down over here, but I remember hearing as a kid, and it really doesn't make sense according to this at least, that Rav Moshe Feinstein held that when you get your clothes back from the dry cleaners, so if the tag is stapled on the outside, so to take it off is not gonna patish. But that really doesn't make sense. I mean, I didn't look it up, so I don't know. They bring down, it's not necessarily a machlokes, they bring down that Rav Nissim Karlit says that if you cannot wear it while the tag is still on it, so then it could be that it makes, that it heals, that it makes the makom patish. Now again, why is this different?
You know those like little plastic tags? It's not like a loop that's in like a hole. It's like it actually goes through the...
Yeah, it goes through the garment. I'm not really sure if it makes enough kamino. I don't know if it makes enough kamino because the isra that we're dealing with over here is not an isra of kireya. There's a Magen Avraham that says psikas talush is garnished. It's nothing. When you just take something which is talush, not looking for the cargo, now you can't just stam a bimakalko. But listen, let's not get into the kireya. You're right. That there is a whole issue of kareya over here. I'm not coming out with any clear halacha l'maisa l'gabi this shiloh. I'm being ma'ir this as a shiloh. This is something that still requires further iyun. Whether l'maisa you can take off the tag or you can't take off the tag.
Maybe we have like a flower. Rip it apart.
What flower?
Just a flower. Rip it apart.
If you have
a piece of lettuce, it wouldn't be a problem to rip it apart. So
right.
What's the difference?
Sure not. Enoch inami. So maybe we'll deal with that one shir. Maybe one shir I'll try to be mevara this nekuda better, and we'll get to that more. Alright, what time is it? I think we're gonna have to call. Alright, we'll stop here. Maybe next time we'll be mamzich. There's a few more nekudas that I wanted to get into. Then Nagei here in Shin Beis. Maybe next time we'll do a little bit more in Shin Beis. Alright, shkayach.